All righty. Now, we talked about some of this Thursday, but I wanted to kind of put a cap on this part of it through verse 18. I'm really excited about tomorrow, too, because that's when John the Baptist declares, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." One of the more stunning scriptures, one of the more stunning statements in history, talking about expressions of God's love just blows my doors off. The whole point of John 1, the first 18 verses, is this amazing manifestation of God's love for humanity. Because how easy is it for us to get frustrated with people, right? And then to just like want to give up or walk away or get mad. There have been times in my life when you're, the more you're in a position of leadership, the more you deal with people on different levels. And so sometimes you can be, you're more object of being criticized too. Like I used to think the only thing what I wanted to do on my grave was for people to say, there died someone in Christ and we all thought he was a really nice guy. But it didn't turn out that way. And even though I think I'm a really nice guy, but it helped me for Jesus to explain to me that he was a pretty nice guy too, but they crucified him. So that's not very encouraging. I'm 70, so I'm thinking I might make it before they do that to me. But I know there was a time once I was in a situation where there were some clergy who were supposed to do a certain thing, and when I got there, it had not been done. And so, but things had to go forward. It was time for a service. And so this thing, this voice in me kind of goes, well, I'm going to do this and fix this and do that. And I said, and the Lord said, so the Lord said to me, he said, you know what, I'm not mad about this at all. I thought, really? And he said, yeah, they're people. Why would I get mad at people about something like that? I died for people. Wow. That'll change your perspective about how the excuses we have or don't have to get angry at people. He said, even though there needed to be correction or at least instruction or at least a conversation about doing certain things, he said, why would I get mad at people over something like this? I gave my life for them. They're the most precious thing in the world to me. I thought, wow, at times in my life, and I'm not prone towards that, that's not one of my weaknesses, but at times in my life when I have gotten frustrated and with people just because they weren't doing right. And then the Lord began to speak to me again. He said, because you know there's all kind of things you can't see that I can, that I'm wanting to accomplish through all this. But you're going to miss participating in it if you do your thing. That was just an extra side story for the fun of it. So in this chapter, this section, he's explained to us that this one, and he says it twice, actually he says it three times in the first chapter, that Jesus existed before him. He talks about him being God and how God... And then God became flesh and dwelt in us. So the whole story being that Jesus came to be a blueprint to give humanity hope that this is what human life can be like. Jesus didn't come to live as God so that we would have a hero. He was God, but he laid that right down. He came to live as man so that mankind, he said, he came to the world. He came into the world enlightening every man. Like, wow. Now, one of the things I thought about that recently in prayer, even this morning, I was thinking, so I was raised in terms of my training in a Bible college that taught that signs and wonders no longer existed. Because they would have said too, yes, you know, Christ-likeness is what we go after. Now, most of the time when Christians talk about Christ-likeness and going after Christ-likeness, they mean we're going to do our best out of sincerity, making a commitment to him to be as Christ-like as we can with the help of the Holy Spirit, because it says he's our helper. So he's going to help me do this, to be Christ-like. But let's lower the bar a little bit. We're going to take away the signs and wonders stuff because Christ-likeness is about character. But if we don't take away the signs and wonders, we're supposed to be healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons. Now, that may not have been the logic, but it became the reasoning over the decades a while back when the Bible-believing church, much of it, decided that the gifts and stuff had ended. Because it lowered the bar, because it seemed too impossible to be Christ-like by doing it the best you can with the hope of the Holy Spirit if it includes signs and wonders. But I don't know about you, but the character part, just the character part, forget the miracles. How about the miracle of righteousness? How about the miracle of holiness? How about the miracle of not getting mad at people when they do stuff that disappoints you, or when you've told them to do something over and over again and they don't do it, and so you think it's okay to get mad because you're trying to, one, you're exerting your frustration and you're trying to get something done. Jesus never did that. He cleansed the temple because they're unrighteous, what they had done to the house of God, but he doesn't run around getting mad. He trusts God more than that when he was walking. But that's a miracle. To walk in holiness is a miracle. Not just signs and wonders. I've found this easier to believe God for, quote, signs and wonders than sometimes it is to love someone to hurt me really bad. I can't do them. But Jesus comes and he's the model. He's the blueprint of normal humanity. He's the second Adam. He represented humanity's second shot at it, as if humanity was born again. He was the firstborn from among the dead. And Jesus came and revealed that. But what if that God said, okay, there it is. There's the pattern. There's the blueprint. Now go out there and now you know what normal looks like. And that's the way most Christians live their Christian life. And therefore, quietly, behind the veil, they live frustrated and guilt-ridden and ashamed of the failures, not just the stuff they do openly. I get stunned sometimes. People have conversations with me and tell me about things they've observed that other people do or say to family members or whatever. And I finally go, stop telling me stuff. I don't want to know. I know, so don't tell me anymore. Don't. But people are trying to be like Christ. They read the book like it's a slide presentation. Then they put it down and do the best they can with grace's help and the Holy Spirit's help to do the best they can to be like Jesus. And it just doesn't work. The Holy Spirit came to help me by being Christ in me, by making Christ real in me. The Holy Spirit lives in me, and he's in me to emphasize Jesus. So having said that, it's some miracle. Think about it. We said this last week, but let it sink in again. And again, those of you who are going to be here for the weekend will hear this with more detail and from other little different emphasis. But God said, I didn't give up, but he didn't give up on us. Do you understand? So this is who he is. Like if you have a tendency to get frustrated at people, I don't know why I'm talking about that. Somebody needs to hear this, I guess. And get mad at them because they don't do right. I guess God, when mankind fell, got mad and frustrated and said, that's it. I'm done. And he yelled at us and went and pouted for a while. Aren't you glad he didn't do that? Don't you realize that's not him? He never acts that way. And life on the highest plane is being liberated from that. You never have to say disrespectful things to your wife or to your husband or to your children, regardless of what they do. Because if that's okay, if that's godly, then God should have been screaming at us for the last 2,000 years. It's just not Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. What about getting mad at people's gentleness or kindness? So God says, I'm not going to give up on him. But it says in verse 18, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son or the only begotten God. God became a man, a person. Again, not just to die for us. And she did. Because in his death, our sins were paid for. The person we used to be was crucified and put out of the way so that we could experience new birth. But Jesus modeled to us what that looks like. God stepped out of eternity and said, here's what I'm going to do. I got to show him. Wow. Stunning. Stunning. God became a man, a person, a human, to show us. And then it says this. He didn't just show us and then go, okay, now I'm winding you up. Go do the best you can with the Holy Spirit's help. It says in verse 16, for of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. He didn't just say, I've come to model this for you, but I've actually come to perform it through you. I've shown you what it looks like. And that helps, doesn't it? Because in my walk with him, I can go, Lord, can I get mad? I want to get mad. And he goes, well, did you see me getting mad at people for not doing it quite right? Did you see me getting frustrated or taking up offense? Did you ever see me being resentful? Did you ever hear me? Did you ever see me pull one of the disciples aside and go, you know, that Andrew is really a knucklehead sometimes. Don't you think so? And talk bad about him? He never did it. He modeled in front of me. And then he said, and now of my fullness you have all received. You know what it looks like. It's not what would Jesus do. It's what will Jesus do, the one who lives in me. Of his fullness we have all received. That's love. That God said, here we're going to do. We're going to step out of eternity. The only begotten God. Whoa, God was begotten? Yes, God was born a human. Jesus was the Son of God, is the Son of God. God became a human, enlightened us as to what life on the highest plane looks like, normal humanity, and then said, now, the only way for you to experience what you've seen is to receive from my fullness. Because then there's no limitation. It's the same me who dwelt in you and you beheld my glory in you now, living the same life, not a set of principles. But Jesus does live a principled life. I just think that's incredible. And then verse 17 says, for the law, man's bent towards my performance, the external demands that said, now, be righteous. And Christians were living like that. For the law came through Moses. But he said, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth is not something Jesus gives us. It's realized through his person. It's who Jesus is in us. He will live his life through us as a free gift in whatever form it needs to take. Loving your wife, loving your friend, doing this, being paid, whatever. And he'll always tell the truth about God because that's your calling. You want to have your purpose. See, I get so sad when I hear people saying sometimes, I'm just so depressed. I don't really seem to have any purpose in life. And I see clergy will do that. Clergy will like, they want a promotion or they want more to do, or be busy. And they go, if you just give me more things to do, I'll feel like I have worth and value. I'm going to go, your value and your worth and your, in terms of your calling is Christ-likeness, is to reveal the truth about God. When it says in verse 18, no man has seen God at any time, but Jesus Christ, the only begotten God, he's revealed him. The word reveal means he led him out into the public. That's the word, literally means that, to lead out. Wow. So my calling is that? My calling, my purpose in life is that? Whether it's just to one person I'm hanging out with all day or 50,000 people, what difference does it make? The joy of experiencing him, revealing the truth about God to that one person all day long. I'm getting to experience that. I'm experiencing life on the highest plane. I'm experiencing the impossible. So not lose your patience, not get angry, not get selfish, not whatever. And it's a sweet-smelling fragrance to God. You with me? Life and life more abundant has got nothing to do with your assignment. It's got everything to do with your calling. And your calling is Christ-likeness. And Christ-likeness is not a goal like the law where you're trying your best to be. It's of his fullness. Of his fullness. Well, what, I don't feel very full. So, it's got nothing to do with your fullness. It's got everything to do with his fullness. I don't want to live by his fullness, don't you? Because mine kind of goes up and down based on how people behave and how circumstances or how I feel. Friday night, I just cooked some stuff and the toe is still a bit weird. And stayed up later talking to Luke and Sam and long time, so stayed up. And it was fun, enjoyed it. And I went to bed and I'm laying in the bed kind of trying to get ready to go to sleep. And my fingers hurt. My toes hurt. My knees hurt. My hip hurt. Everything was hurt. I'm thinking, Lord, what is wrong with me? Is this what it's like to get older? Everything. What did I do? I thought, I never felt like that before. Never felt like that again. But I just got tickled. And I just thought, Lord, you're not scared of this, are you? He said, no, I'm not scared at all. And I have totally peace about your body. What's going on? I thought, yes, Lord, I receive you. And I got to reveal him in that bed, just me and him, rejoicing in life in the highest plane, and knowing I was bringing pleasure to the Father. Okay? All righty. Isn't it fun to walk in the Spirit? So let me just encourage you again. I was thinking, Lord, this morning, I said, Lord, I'm so excited about Lazarus. No, he said that. I'm so excited about this weekend coming up. I said, that's awesome, Lord. He said, I'm so excited. He said, but you know what? I'm even more excited about today. Well, what's significant? Because everything's significant to him. Every encounter is significant to him. Amen. The joy unspeakable, full of glory. All righty, let's stand together before I keep talking.